To Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, if you could turn there, that's going to be the first passage that we start in today. I'm going to pray and then we're going to get right into the word. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful again for this day. We're thankful that we can come here and worship and hear your word, Lord. I just pray that you would help us to be attuned to what you have to say and what you want to teach us today. Thankful, Lord, for the freedom that we have to meet here today. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to help us to keep our focus and attention on who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So last week we finished off at the fall of Jerusalem with the prophet Jeremiah. God's people are being ushered into the 70 years of exile. So if we get our slide up here, I'll kind of remind you again. Basically, if you can imagine, this is like a bookshelf, Genesis to Nehemiah, are the history or the foundational books of the Old Testament. Then on the bottom, we have the poetry books, which are inserted into the timeline. On the top, we have the prophetic books, and we are rounding home plate now. This is where we are. We're in the 70 years of exile, where we have Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And if you'll notice, those circles are very perfect, okay, because I figured out how to make them like that on my markup. And it only took me like 23 weeks to figure that out. I was like, hey, that's a nice feature. So basically, where in Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel, these were written during the 70 years of exile because Jerusalem was besieged by the Babylonians and taken into exile. The three books that were written during that time of exile have much to say about God's future plan for his people. Not only the future of the people then, but the future that we're actually waiting for. So we like to say it's kind of like an already not yet type thing. So there's some things that have been fulfilled and some things that haven't. God's people were going through an extremely difficult time in their lives. We have all had our shares of difficulties, right? I mean, I would imagine that it just by the looks on your faces and just by knowing some of you, you've all been through some kind of difficult circumstance. And how you handle those difficult circumstances is very important for your spiritual growth. Maybe right now you're actually in the midst of a difficult situation. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe it's a relational issue. Or maybe things are just falling apart and you wish it was just one issue. But it's so many things, right? Caving in on you. So today, through the books of Lamentations, Daniel, and Ezekiel, we're going to learn how to respond to difficult situations. Again, this is an overview, so we're not going to study through these books verse by verse, line by line. So we're going to start with Lamentations. The prophet Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations because he was depressed that Jerusalem fell and God's people were in exile. They continued to sin, so judgment came their way. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because it's a book of lament. He's depressed. He's upset. So the book is made up of what they call five laments. It's more of a poetic book, but it's prophetic in nature as well. It's broken up into five chapters. So if you look at the screen, you'll see this brief outline. Jerusalem's grief is in chapter 1. God's wrath is in chapter 2. Continuing hope is in chapter 3. Sin's consequences is found in chapter 4, and confession is found in chapter 5. Now, Jeremiah, along with God's people, are going through a very difficult situation. So the first thing that he does, or the way that he responds, and the way that it teaches us to respond, is he remembers what is true about God. I want to turn your attention to Lamentations 3, 19 through 24. It says this. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I will hope in him. So there's a few things that Jeremiah remembers. So he's bummed out. He's saying, oh man, I'm bummed out. I remember why I'm bummed out. But then he says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope because of these things. So the first thing he has hope about is the steadfast love, the unwavering love of God. You know what? When you're going through a difficult situation, sometimes you might feel like, does God even love me? But the beautiful thing for us as believers is this. We always point to the cross to remind us that God has steadfast and unwavering love for us because he was willing to die for us on the cross. The scriptures tell us this, that Jesus Christ loved us so much that he paid the price for our sins on the cross. The scriptures also say he didn't stay dead. He rose again 3 days later to prove that he is God. And the Bible says this, that all who believe will have eternal life. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God loves us so much. So what Jeremiah was doing is he was like, you know, this is a difficult situation, but this I'm going to call to mind. God loves me. God loves me. Now, Jeremiah didn't know about the cross, so to speak, at that point, but we do. So we're always pointed to the cross. We're going to celebrate communion today. Where does it point? It points to the cross. If you ever second guess God's love for you, just go to the cross. Look at the cross. He loved you so much that he was willing to die for you. The next thing he remembers is God's mercy or his compassion. That means that God is willing to forgive even though we don't deserve it. God is merciful for us. His compassion's found out, some translations say. God is compassionate. He looks upon us and he feels bad for us because of the state that we're in. So basically, God cares for us. When we're going through a difficult situation, we have to know that God does actually care. He does actually have mercy on us. The situation may even have been worse, but God had mercy on us and had compassion on us and didn't allow it to get any worse. The next thing that Jeremiah remembers is God's faithfulness. This means God sticks with us. He keeps his promises. Now, Jeremiah full well knew that because he went to the people and said, turn from your sin or judgment is coming. And what happened? They didn't, and judgment came. So Jeremiah knows that God is faithful, and in that sense, it was a negative for the people, but he also knows that God made promises. So he is faithful. Great is your faithfulness. We sing that here at our church. Great is your faithfulness. And then finally, ultimately, God is good. Ultimately, God is good. We can trust him that he has good in store for us. You know what? When you're going through some kind of difficulty, that's a hard thing, right? It's hard to think like, okay, God is good. He has good in store for me. What's going on? Well, what Jeremiah is teaching us is these are the things you have to remember. If you're going to weather this storm, you have to constantly remind yourself that God is good. All these things. But you have to constantly remind yourself of these things. But you know what? Just because we remember these things does not mean that the situation will start going well, right? Some of you are stuck in that or have been stuck in that. You're like, I know all these things about God, but I'm not seeing it right now. I'm so bummed. I'm so depressed. But the next thing Jeremiah did was he waited for God to work. Let's look at the rest of verse 25 through 30. It says this, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait patiently for salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust and there may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes and let him be filled with insults. So the next thing that we learn is Jeremiah waited for God to work. Now, there's a few things to do while we wait. Now, most of us don't like to wait, right? I mean, waiting is not really that fun. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about how back like in the 80s when you liked a TV program, you had to wait till it was on. Remember that? And then they made the VCR, and you could like time record. But I was so bad at time recording that I would have to be home to make sure the time recording was actually going on. So I'm like, I might as well just watch the show. But now, right, what is it now? It's instant, right? You don't wait for anything. You can binge watch any TV show, and this phenomenon with like Netflix, a show will come out, right? And it's the entire season. And it comes out, and what do people do? They sit on the couch for like 14 hours and watch the entire show. There's no waiting, okay? Nobody says, I'm going to watch it every Tuesday, okay? They don't do that. They don't want to wait. We don't want to wait. We actually really don't like waiting. Waiting's difficult, isn't it? When you're in a difficult situation, it is hard to wait for things to get better. But here's our composure. He says, sit and wait quietly, meaning not complaining, not always talking about it. Sometimes you just have to be quiet. And I'm not saying you should never talk about your problems to people. But you know what? If you're the type of person, when someone sees you coming, they're like, oh no, I know what they're going to be talking about. Okay? I know exactly what's going on in their life, and they're going to bring that up right now. You know, sometimes we just have to be quiet. You know, in prayer, just be quiet before the Lord and not always focus in on the difficult situation. There's so much more to our life and so much more to our faith than the difficulty. This is a difficult thing to do, to remain quiet and just think like, okay, you know what? The situation is not changing right now. So me continuing to talk about it is really just getting me upset, making me angry, making me feel depressed. The next is this. We deal with issues. You know what? Sometimes there's steps of action. When there's something going on, when there's a difficult situation in our life, sometimes there's steps of actions. Notice he says this. It is good for you to bear this in your youth. I'm going to say this could be a reference to learn your lesson early in life. Okay, learn it early. Don't be like 70 years old and still learning the same lessons. 30, 40, 50 years in the Lord and still learning the same lessons. This could be a reference to that. This could also be a reference to taking care of problems swiftly. You know what? Sometimes there's a difficult situation and there's something you do need to do. And God might be waiting on you like, hey, listen, this is what you need to do. Go talk to this person. Go help this person. Go figure this out. Go figure, let's just say even if it's like a financial situation, God might be saying, you need to get a job, okay? So get up and go get the job, okay? Here's what God is saying. Listen, sometimes you need to deal with the issues while you're in this waiting period. And then the final thing is this, trust that he has not left us or he has not allowed this to actually cause us harm. Okay, know this about God. He will allow things to come in your life to teach you lessons. He doesn't just allow it to cause you harm and then just sit back and laugh when it hurts, okay? That's not God. He trusts that he's not left you. You know, you might feel at times in your difficult situation like, I feel like God is not even there. Well, he is. Just trust that he is. Trust that he's there. He hasn't left you, and he hasn't allowed this in your life to cause you harm, but he's allowed it to come into your life so that you can work through it and grow from it. But you know what? But while we're remembering what is true about God and waiting for him to work, we may encounter more difficult situations, and we may encounter temptations to sin. This brings us to the book of Daniel. I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 1. The book of Daniel is a very rich book in prophetic material. So here's what I've been praying about, because if you notice my rhythm with preaching, I'll do like New Testament, topical series, Old Testament, topical series, New Testament. Like that's kind of the way I kind of plan out the preaching for the year. So I'm praying that when we get to Old Testament again, that we actually study Daniel. If you want to study Daniel, just pray harder and the Lord will let me know that this is what we need to be doing. Okay? So it brings us to the book of Daniel. I want to give you a brief outline of the book of Daniel, and we're just going to take one point from him. And in Daniel, if you look at the screen, you'll see this brief outline. Daniel's personal history is found in chapter 1. The prophetic history of the Gentiles is found in chapters 2 through 7. And the prophetic history of Israel is found in Daniel 8 through 12. But let's look at Daniel the man and see how he endured a difficult situation. Because again, Daniel was in exile. So what we learn about Daniel is this. He was in a difficult situation, but he walked in integrity. Daniel serves as one of the best examples, bar none, in the Bible of a man who was above reproach. That means that no one could say anything bad about him. And if you read through the book of Daniel, people tried, didn't they? They tried to say something bad about him, but it didn't work because he was doing right no matter what the situation was. And guess what? That should be our goal too. You know, it's so easy for us when we're going through a difficult situation to be like, yeah, I responded like that because they did this to me. I handled the situation because I was under a lot of stress and this is what I'm going through. You don't know how it feels to go through this. And then you go do something wrong. But you know what? God still sees as something wrong. So Daniel serves as an example of a man who actually said, no, I'm going to continue to do what's right, even though I'm in a difficult situation. So Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem, besieged it. After that, he wanted to take young, skillful men and make them part of his army. Now, if you're in captivity, your good way out, in a sense, is, okay, if you can't beat them, join them. Okay, I'm going to get in his army. So basically what the scriptures say about Daniel is he was a young, good-looking guy who had skills. Okay, so he had everything going for him. So Nebuchadnezzar ordered to find these men, these young men, and actually make them eat certain foods and drink certain drinks or not drink certain drinks. So basically, Daniel saw this as conforming to the Babylonian culture and being a servant of another king that wasn't God. So he saw that and he said, uh-uh. So let's look at Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. It says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. So essentially, Daniel chose to follow God, even though the pressure was on. This is something you will see throughout Daniel's life. When you read through the book of Daniel, you'll see this throughout his life. The book records some pretty difficult situations that Daniel found himself in. And the book also records God working like he did in that situation and even more. But to the point of Daniel being thrown in a lion's den because he continued to pray to God when there was a decree against it. So how did Daniel continue to walk in integrity despite the difficult circumstance that he was in? And I would suggest it was through prayer. When you study the life of Daniel, you see him constantly going to the Lord. Daniel kept going to God. I preached an entire series on prayer probably over a year ago. So I'm not going to get in detail on prayer. You can go back and listen to that. But the bottom line is when the situation was difficult, Daniel went to prayer. He had a vibrant relationship with the Lord, and he knew that that's where his help came from. This is an important lesson for us as believers, isn't it? Because when we're going through a difficult situation, we go everywhere. You might even Google it. What do you do in this situation? Okay? Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. That's what Daniel continued to do. Prayer is going to be a key factor in walking in integrity. And listen to this. When your relationship with the Lord is right, you'll do what's right. When your relationship with the Lord is right, you will do what's right. Or in other words, you'll walk in integrity. You'll walk in integrity. You know, some people think, oh, you have to be some kind of super Christian or a pastor or a theologian, somebody who knows a lot to walk in integrity. But I have news for you. Those things could be helpful, but who was the group that Jesus rebuked the most when he did his ministry on earth? It was the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the people that knew the most. The problem was is they knew it, but they didn't do it. Daniel serves as an example of he knew it, and he also did it. And that's what our goal should be. When we're in a difficult situation, we should go to the Word, go to prayer, know what God says, and then practice it in our lives. So when we pray, God communicates with us, leads us on the right path of integrity. When we don't, we have a tendency to cave under pressure and do the wrong thing. Let me ask you a question. when you're in a difficult circumstance and then you wind up doing the wrong thing or responding the wrong way, does it make the difficult circumstance better? No. It heaps sin on sin on sin. And you know what? If you go to our jails in this state and every other state and you talk to people, they're like, yep, I responded this way and now I'm here. Now I'm here. Oh, so you made a bad decision while you were under stress, while you were in a difficult circumstance, while someone wronged you. You responded the way the world says to, the way you felt like. And guess what? You wound up heaping sin upon sin. So the example of Daniel set for us is go to the Lord, make the right decision despite the fact that the wrong things or difficult things are happening to you. Well, you may remember what is true about the Lord. You may be waiting for the Lord to work. You may even be walking in integrity. But the final thing we're going to talk about is this. God does not want you to deal with difficult circumstances alone. He wants you to take comfort from those that know the Lord in order to deal with difficult situations. So we're going to look at the book of Ezekiel. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel was a priest who was called by God to be a prophet. He was taken captive to Babylon, and ultimately he became a messenger of comfort and hope for God's people, and actually for us today as well. Here's a brief outline of Ezekiel. You'll see it on the screen. Ezekiel's commission was chapters 1 to 3. Prophecies of judgment on Judah were chapters 4 through 24. Prophecies of judgment on the Gentiles, chapters 25 through 32. Restoration for Israel is chapter 33 through 39. And prophecies of establishment for Israel is chapters 40 through 48. There's a lot of chapters here, obviously, right? So here's what I'm going to pull out. God warned Ezekiel that the people that he was to give the message to, God's people, were hard-hearted and he would not be well-received. The message would not be well-received and he would not be well-received. But God basically tells Ezekiel, you're not responsible for how they respond. You're responsible for doing what I've asked you to do. Now, that's important for us in difficult circumstances, right? Because a lot of our difficult circumstances revolve around other people, making our lives painful, right? And some of you even think like, yeah, there's people in my life that make my life painful. They make my life difficult. Well, guess what? You're not responsible for how they're acting. You're responsible for how you react to them. You don't get a bye week. God didn't say, yeah, I know that hurt, and yeah, you can go sin. He doesn't say it. Like, okay, he's not like, yeah, I get it. You would respond like that. He's like, no. I want you to respond the way I desire you to respond. So in Ezekiel's message, there was bad news about judgment, but then there was also a message of comfort that God had a plan to restore his people. God's people were supposed to take comfort in this part of the message, and that's found in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel brought this message of comfort. Now, when I read this, what you have to know about this is an already not yet. God working with his people to restore his people. This has future to us implications on how God is going to bring his people back to himself. So know that. We don't have time to get into all that. Maybe when we study Daniel, I'll refer back to this because Daniel has a ton of stuff about the end times. But in Ezekiel 37, I'm going to read 15 verses, but pay close attention or follow along in your Bible. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. This is Ezekiel saying, I prophesied, and I was commanded, as I was commanded. And I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, and I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Now, this is an interesting prophecy because it is a future. It's for the people's encouragement. Notice what they said. You have said, oh, these bones are dried up. And God responded, oh, I'm going to give them life. I'm going to give them life. What I love about this, and I'm sure most of you love about this passage, it reminds God's people it's not always going to be this bad. If you're going through a situation right now that's very difficult, know this. It's not always going to be this bad. Notice, the Lord is the one breathing the life into the bones to make them alive again. Ezekiel was the one communicating the message of comfort. He was using Ezekiel to say, this is what God said he's going to do. He's going to make this alive. You know what? When we're going through a difficult situation, the final thing we need to do is take comfort from godly people. You know, God placed people in your life to remind you of that. Sometimes as believers, it's so hard for us to see clearly when difficulties are happening, isn't it? It's so hard for us to see clearly because we're just clouded. That's why we're talking and we're not quiet. We're just clouded. We're looking at the difficult situation, not paying close attention to what God says. And here comes people, believers, to bring you comfort. You know what? Maybe you feel comforted after you come to worship service. Maybe some days you're like beat up. You're pressed down and you come to worship service and you hear God's word and it brings you peace. You might even say things like this, and I've heard people say things like this to me. I don't know what it is. I can't even explain it, but I feel a little bit better now. You know what? In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks about in Philippians, right? The peace that transcends all what? Understanding will guard your heart and your mind. The worst thing you could do for yourself is when you're going into a difficult situation and say, I'm not going there. Because guess what? You're missing out on comfort. Maybe it's because you just find kind and friendly people, caring people that just say, hey, how's it going? And you just need some positivity. You need people around you that are just smiling. Maybe your difficult circumstances is the home you live in and you're like, oh, and then you come to church. You're like, wow, people smile. They're nice. This is amazing. I've never experienced this before. You know what? As a church, what we do is we try to provide opportunities for you to receive comfort from godly people. A few weeks ago, we started Celebrate Recovery, which is a Christ-centered recovery program. Meets on Sunday nights, 7:30. We're starting in next week, we're starting divorce care. That's for people that are separated or going through a divorce or divorce, for them to have support. It's going to be meeting during the 11:30 service every Sunday. And here's the thing. Those ministries are designed because people are hurting. Soon to be started will be grief share as well. People mourning the loss of a loved one. These things all put you in an environment where you're around other people who know the word, who love the Lord, and want to bring you comfort. They might be at the point in their grieving or their loss or their divorce or their recovery that they could see a little clearer than you can right now. So that's there to help you. Maybe for you, it's just being involved in the Bible study, community group, Sunday school class to meet people that know the word that can provide some sort of Christian companionship, comfort, and guidance. Because you know what? Maybe you're not going through a very difficult circumstance right now or at that point, but things just don't seem to have much purpose. You just don't have much fulfillment. So being involved with other people that are godly, that are pointing you in the right direction, kind of helps you to see things clearly. You know what? When we go through difficult situations, we should remember what is true about God. We should wait for the Lord to work in the situation. We should walk in integrity, and we need to take comfort in godly people that are in our lives. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful again for this time that we have together. We just pray now as we go into communion that it's a time of remembrance and a time of self-evaluation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as I said earlier in the sermon, we need to always remember what Christ has done for us. That's communion. Christ's blood was shed for us on the cross. Jesus said, when you're together, do that. Remember that Jesus died for you and rose again to prove that he could give you life. Another thing we do during communion is we examine our own lives. Maybe for you, maybe you're going through a difficult situation, and maybe you've just been going the wrong way in dealing with it. Maybe today is the time where you have to say, I got to go the right way here. Because if I don't go the right way, I'm going to be learning this lesson for a lot longer than I ever want to learn it for. And that's the truth. If you don't learn it, it's going to continue on. So maybe right now you just have to say, Lord, you know, help me. Help me in this situation. Evaluate. Look at your life. Spend time looking at where you're going wrong and how God wants to bring you the right way. I'm going to ask the gentlemen that are passing out the elements to come forward, please.